I was going to read from Galatians chapter 5, as I mentioned earlier, just in reading here about the fruit of the Spirit and life by the Spirit. So reading in from verses 16 to 25, and this is God's word. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. I came across this funny little clip in an illustration book the other day, and it's talking about this pastor who was voted to be the most humble pastor in America. So the congregation was very excited, and they gave him a medal that sat on there to the most humble pastor in America. And then they took it away from him the next Sunday because he wore it to church. I thought it was funny. What is God doing inside of me and you? And as we continue, as I mentioned, talking about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as believers. And if you remember over the last couple of weeks, of speaking in terms of the Holy Spirit as being the one who is there as our comforter, counselor, our helper, and as the words would translate, the one who comes alongside of us, such that we're not in this spiritual journey alone. And it's been reminding that we're not just physical beings going through life, but that we are spiritual people. We have spirits, immortal spirits, and that when we accept Christ into our lives, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. God inside of us, as I said last week, and mentioned that while that may be difficult to comprehend as to how it all works, that it's something that is absolutely incredible. And there's something that makes it then so special, amazing, and valuable that each and every person before God, because we have spirits. That we're set apart from the rest of creation, as we're told in Genesis, because we as people, that we were and are made, created in the image of God, in God's likeness. And we know that that's not speaking about us physically, that is something that's speaking about us spiritually. And so there's a difference, and again, each person in that special aspect, because we are in God's image, having His Spirit, our Spirit inside of us. And then beyond that, as we accept Him into our lives, that the Spirit of God comes and intermingles to live and to work in each of us. And so that's what it's really, in the last couple of weeks, to kind of bring back to there. As we look about God's work then through His Spirit, it's more than simply just coming and residing and being that a reminder that we are His people. But even as we look to the change that He looks to bring about in our lives, as we live in a world that seems to be increasingly about self, and there seems to be, maybe as I just watch things and look different perspective, but there seems to be a greater selfishness than ever before. I mean, there's always that sense of entitlement. People seem to everything simply just being about me, me, me. And as we look in terms that there's something different as God's Spirit comes to work in us as people and to change us, to make us different than the peoples of the world. And as we will read and look in this terms of this list of fruit. And we also see in terms of the character that God's looking to produce in us as the Holy Spirit comes, lives in us. Spirit intermingling with Spirit, as I said, and that help to become the people He has in mind for us to be. And, you know, quite frankly, this fruit, this holiness, the character that God wants to bring in us is very different, often very different from the values of the world. As we look in terms of a world and all the things that it would see as being important, very different as we look in this list of fruit of what God seems to be important in our lives as believers. And especially very different in a world where it's all about self and that sense of selfishness. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to read Chuck Colson's book, Loving God, and it's maybe almost a couple of decades back, but this is something interesting I found as he wrote in there. He said, there is a shocking agenda in our narcissistic 20th century. I realized how radical and severe it was when I read the words from Washington Post interview with the New Age prophetess, Shirley MacLaine. You probably remember her name. And this is what she has said. And he quotes, the most pleasurable journey you take is through yourself. The only sustaining love involvement is with yourself. When you look back on your life and try to figure out where you've been and where you're going, when you look at your work, your love affairs, your marriages, your children, your pain, your happiness, when you examine all that closely, what you really find out is the only person you really go to bed with is yourself. The only thing you have is working to the consummation of your own identity. And that's what I've been trying to do all my life. And then Chuck Colson adds this and says, and that is the opposite, the antithesis of what Jesus demands of his followers. And isn't that true in terms that we look at the world values and the characters and stuff? It's often very different as we've been speaking in terms of a worldview of Scripture and what God is looking to do in and through his people. As I mentioned even last week, that I'm glad that I'm not alone in this. I'm glad we're not alone in this as people, not just in terms of the body of Christ and the blessing that God has given us in that, but not alone in the fact that we know that the Holy Spirit, God has come and lives in us and wants to grow us and to mature us and to do great things in us as a blessing for us and as a blessing to those around us. God's work in us as we look to our work being cooperating with the Holy Spirit and working. And we've looked at this passage before, and keeping in step with the Spirit, not being about self-effort or self-achievement, but how God comes and works in us. And so it's roughly in this context that Paul is likely speaking to the church of Galatia, written to a church that has really forgotten all the things that they have been taught and how they are meant to live. And this passage being a great reminder to us as well and what it really means to have God inside of us and to live by the Spirit. And you know, I've been trying to challenge you just a fresh way to be thinking of what that means. God comes, lives inside of us. Oh, see, you know, I can just deal with physical, I see physical, but somehow as a Spirit we have, God as Spirit comes, intermingles, dwells, lives inside of us. Again, hard to fathom, but we know that that's the truth of what Scripture speaks for our lives. And so knowing that, as it speaks here in this passage, then what does it mean for me to keep in step with the Spirit? As God looks to take us from this sinful selfishness it speaks about, gratification of the sinful nature, as Paul writes here, to instead produce in us good fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. When we become believers, and say this over and over throughout all the years, but as soon as we become believers, the Spirit of God lives inside of us. As I said last week, like no exceptions to that. We become a believer, the promise, the guarantee, that seal of ownership as we looked at in Corinthians there, is that we are His. In a way that for all the spiritual realm, just to know, to take note that we are now, as believers, children of God. That we are now part of the family of God. And it's again, that seal of ownership that we are His. And as soon as that happens, the Holy Spirit comes to live in, as it spoke of there, that guaranteed deposit of what is to come. In Ephesians speaks, let me just read you another little one here. It speaks of those same things in Ephesians chapter 1. And just reading verses 13 and 14. And when you were included in Christ, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, Having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. And then when the Holy Spirit begins to live in us, that guaranteed deposit of what is to come, that guaranteed deposit of our inheritance. And so it's so important to remember that we are his, and that's why we're reminded of it over and over in Scripture. That when we accept Christ into our lives, when we become believers, we're saved by grace through faith, we become his children. Guaranteed promise that the Holy Spirit comes and lives, dwells inside of us. As I mentioned over, I don't know exactly how this happens, how God comes and dwells in us, but by faith we know it to be true, by his word we know it to be true, and I can sense it, I can feel it, as I mentioned last week, even in times of conviction, that I can know there's something different, that his Spirit is there inside of me, living and working, and no doubt in my mind. And so I know that I am his, know that God's Spirit lives in me, Spirit in spirit. And so then, logical from that, we have to begin to think, well, what is he really looking to do inside each of us? I mean, if somehow in the spiritual world, God comes, intermingles spirit with spirit, lives inside of us, what, according to the Bible, does that really mean? And what can we understand he's looking to do inside of us? World, marked as a sense of self-centeredness, selfishness, and it's natural, right? I mean, sometimes you see where the world's going, but it's not something unnatural because we're looking at people who are following a sinful nature. As bad and shocking as it often seems to be, it really is, that's just the fruit of a sinful nature. And it speaks of here, of God having some things better in mind, so many things better in mind for us, so much more in store for us. Because the Holy Spirit, not only being that seal of ownership, that sign, that mark that we belong to God, but also that he has put his Holy Spirit inside of us so that we can become the people of God that he has in mind for us to be. You remember over a number, maybe a couple months here, mentioned a couple times at least about Jesus telling his disciples that it was good for him to be leaving. Why was it good? Because he told them that if he would leave, that he would send the Holy Spirit to be with them. And he says that this is something that is even better than if he was with them. And again, I hear those words of his, and I have to think why. Because here's why it really is. If he's with them, he's daily teaching, being with them, some of it. And sometimes he's off and doing his thing in prayer and through night. But the difference is he's there for them times of teaching, times maybe to encourage, inspire, but his presence is going to be limited. While he would promise that when he would leave, the Holy Spirit would come to be with them always, living in them, working in them, always, always, always. And so that's really what it speaks in terms of the truth for each and every one of us believers, not just once in a while, but every moment of every day, always full-time, 24/7, permanent, the Holy Spirit living each of us. You know, doing his work, and as we cooperate, as we allow him to keep changing our lives as we keep in step with him. You think just how incredible that really is. I mean, that's the change, he says, the promise of he would go, Holy Spirit coming, Spirit in spirit, with us always. You know, as a dad often, at least quite often, think about how my kids, you know, are going to make their way through life. And a lot of you maybe have been in that point too over time. And, you know, as you see them now in this stage, just figuring it out. And I remember that stage, and it didn't always seem easy as you go through these things. And, you know, maybe as mentioned for Ethan now, it's a little different. He's married and finished all this training and getting ready to start a job. Things are beginning to fall into place. But as I look even in the other two, you think of who they will marry, who God will bring into their lives, and if they'll even get married, and you think of the work or job, career, what are they going to come up with, and all these things in spiritual, you know, where will they be in years to come? There's all those things in life that happen and unexpected things as we have all gone through. And so I think of all those different things on all those nights where, you know, you have nothing better to do other than sleep. And you think of how, as parents, have we maybe tried to do our best to get them ready for this? In the midst of our own failings and flounderings, because you're only an ever expert parent when you don't have kids, right? But the greatest comfort to me in all this is to know that they know God and God knows them. You know, I know that they're believers, and I know by the truth of His Word that His Holy Spirit is in each of them. And I might be there for a while, I mean, still whatever measure for days, months, years to come, but in the same thing, it's limited. But by the Holy Spirit, His promise is that He will always be there with them. You know, keeping them, loving them, leading them, helping them, correcting them. And that's the promise of Scripture, and it brings incredible comfort for me to be able to know that truth. And that's why Jesus told the disciples, it's better for you that I leave. And as your pastor, I often think similar thoughts in terms of that, because most, like most things in life, we learn and hopefully get better along the way as we go. And just like a parent, as a pastor, there's failings and flounderings and in terms of all that. But what doesn't ever change is my desire for you to know Him and to grow in Him. You know, and the care that I have for you as a congregation, it's that same prayer that you would find peace and joy in Him, find meaning, find purpose, and that each of you will be able to know for sure that He is with you through everything that you go. And all you face in life, and the ups and downs, the good times, and all these things that you really have to experience as people on planet Earth, it's a comfort just to know that God is there just as He is in me, working in you and working through you. Because I can think, you know, after all the years of being here, that's probably what's more obvious to me is, in the sense of the pastor, the reality of how much of a limited impact I really have in being able to truly guide, help, get you where you need to be spiritually. I mean, I do my best, but think about all this. And I've been over 15 years here. So guesstimating about 50 sermons a year, that's 750 sermons I have preached to you. And how many do you think you could remember? Well, let's see, last week's and this week's, but even those are seeming kind of fuzzy. Right? Like, what's he talking about now? Where am I? Probably lucky I don't know what's happening behind all those sleepy eyes. But alas, I mean, however you look at it, all the Sundays that you ever been or been to church over your whole life, I mean, how much might you remember about all that has ever been said in terms of those things? And somewhat it's like, you know, drops of water in a bucket, right? And some buckets seem a little bit leaky. But beyond all that, you know, I know the truth of Scripture is that God's always at work in your life. And that's a comforting thing to know, that in all the time and all those things, beyond anything that's going on when you're here at church and the rest, day in and day out, the Holy Spirit is living and working inside of you. And that's why, as I mentioned, it was such an amazing transition from Old Testament, where the Spirit would come upon people, certain times, to the difference of now, when the promise that the Holy Spirit would come and be inside of each of us. That we will never be outside of His care, never outside of His comfort, never outside of Him being alongside of us, working inside of in our lives, guiding, teaching, convicting, doing His sanctifying work. And that's such an amazing thing to think and to know that that is happening in each and every one of us as believers. And however much we cooperate, you know, I know that that is still happening, and we can grow that and grow more Spirit, but guaranteed, that's the deposit inside of each and every one of us, and to know that incredible truth. He will always be living inside of you, working in your life and through you. And that's what's something so absolutely amazing about what has been done for us. As Jesus told and promised His disciples, it wouldn't ever be just Him once in a while, but the promise of Spirit all the time. And so I know it's never simply church once a week, prayer before meals and bed, whatever, a little Bible reading, whatever might happen in our lives going on there, but it's more. The Holy Spirit at work in each and every one of us 24/7. That's His promised role. And our role, as we're reminded here, as Paul is reminding the Galatian church, is to keep in step and to walk with him, cooperate, to let him do his work, to not stifle him or grieve him, as I read in that call to worship passage there in Ephesians 4. You know, but to let him somehow be at work and filling us in greater measure. And that's what he so wanted to remind this Galatian church about. Because they had become a church that began to look to self-effort. You know, there's a book I've always loved because this is my background from legalism to knowing him in grace. Because they had become so legalistically holy, religiously selfish. And even, yeah, it's true, right? In religion, we can become selfish in our own sinful nature just as the rest of the world. We only do it for the sake of what we think is in it for us. Unless God's Spirit lives and dwells in us. And that's what Paul is reminding them here, and meant to be different. They've somehow forgotten that grace. They've turned to legalism, and now they think that they're somehow keeping themselves saved by all that they're doing. And he blasts them. And Galatian is probably the strongest tongue lashing we have in Scripture. You know, forgot what they've known about the grace. And then here in chapter 5, as he reminds them of what they are meant to be maturing into. Not work-centered legalists, but instead leaving all those things from their sinful nature. Not doing things to be able to work and earn God's love. But instead, as his Spirit is allowed to come and to work and to change them. Not in it for themselves to earn salvation, but as God would come and do his good work and to work in them and through them. And so change believers through the power of the Holy Spirit given to them as they have believed in Christ. So this book, it's always just a great reminder, right? For all of us believers, it's never again about all those things that we would do or think that somehow we're going to do these to work and earn God's love. But now as a people saved by grace, God's Spirit coming, living, dwell inside, and how he looks to grow us and change us for our blessing. You know, the biggest thing I ever see on this side of all of knowing grace compared to legalism, it's always amazing to know and feel at the end of the day of God's incredible love and that he's not disappointed. That he can look at me and beam with pride and, you know, that's my child. Through all the failings, flounderings, that's my beloved child. The same as he looks at you. And to know that the Spirit, and as we cooperate, is looking to do more and ever more in each and every one of our lives. And that's something that through Scripture, that reminder again is so incredible. The Holy Spirit inside each and every one of us. And to work and to bring about fruit, right? I mean, the main part here is he tells them that there is fruit, singular fruit from the Holy Spirit. I love fruit. Any other fruit lovers here? I mean, I almost try to eat every kind of fruit I can ever. If I see something different in a store, however weird it might look, it's a fruit, I buy it. Try to sample it. And, you know, it's often you go to these countries and times I've traveled and you eat something and it's so much bigger and better and tastier and you think, what are we getting sold over here? But even most of the fruit here all the time is still pretty good. Only one, anybody ever try a fruit called durian? It is a weird looking spiky little fruit. Best I could describe this fruit, it smells like a bad fart. Not that there are good smelling farts. But it smells like that and it tastes it. I mean, I first came across this Filipino friend years back. And this guy was telling the story about how his car began to reek so bad. He was pretty much sure that something had either died in there, or that, as he told, he said he thought maybe someone had broken to the car, took a dump in his car, and that's what the smell was, until he found that this durian had rolled under his seat. Anyway, you'll have to see it and try it. But I know we bought it then years down the road for my dad brought it, and you're thinking, okay, maybe it just smells really bad when you cut into it and it's going to taste so good. No, pretty much tasted like it smelled. But it's always amazing to think in terms of fruit that normally it's something incredible, right? We love, we enjoy it. There's an author by the name of Rick Penner, and I love what he writes about this in terms of fruit. And it's a little longer read, but listen as he writes. He says, fruit is wonderful. It is healthy, beneficial, and delicious. This is one reason the Apostle Paul used the word fruit to describe the wonderful things the Holy Spirit wants to produce inside our lives. After Paul discusses the works of the flesh in Galatians 5:19-21, he begins to elaborate about the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in a believer's life. In Galatians 5:22-23, he writes, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance." Just as Paul previously described the works of the flesh, now he tells us what the Holy Spirit wants to produce in us, and what a contrast there is between the flesh and the Spirit. The flesh produces works, from the Greek word ergos, which implies hard work or hard labor. As noted earlier, a life dominated by the flesh is filled with excess, imbalance, unhealthy extremes, laziness, self-abuse, hatred, strife, bitterness, irresponsibility, and neglect. It is the hardest route for any individual, yet the flesh still cries out to be in charge, screaming to have its own way, demanding to be the boss. On the other hand, a life dominated by the Holy Spirit is filled with benefits and blessings. And isn't that so true as we would look at these lists and comparisons and knowing what comes as the fruit of that life in the sinful nature? I mean, for all we've known and experienced, you can see, for all it might seem pleasurable at the time, it never results in good things. But the fruit, as he speaks, that fruit of the Spirit of God who comes and lives inside of us, so guaranteed we have fruit because we have the Spirit, as it brings this incredible list of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Right? And amazing. I mean, who doesn't want more of all those things there? I mean, more love, more joy, more peace in my life? I mean, how can I not want that as it comes? And so as we're challenged, as we'll look even in the next bit, Paul's reminding these people this incredible thing that God wants to do inside of them, of each of them. I mean, all that they're trying to do in this work stuff to get where they think is going to accomplish something, the difference of what comes as God works and what he produces, his amazing, incredible, delicious fruit. I mean, all these good things that come, as he says, as we keep in step with the Spirit. And that means, as we submit to him, as we let him come work in our life, as we don't grieve him, and as we realize that he's looking to do good things and blessings in our life, we follow. And I mentioned earlier in our call to worship that we often look at Ephesians 4, about grieving the Holy Spirit, as simply kind of a theology verse, right? I mean, this is a verse that speaks about the personhood of the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's kind of the way we look at it. He's a person, he's not a force, he has feelings, he can be grieved, but it's so much more than that. Because as I look at it practically, what it's telling and speaking is that there's a Spirit inside of me, that guaranteed deposit given to me as a new believer, working in me, and he can be grieved, saddened. But somehow when I'm not listening to his voice, when I'm not following his leading, I'm not keeping in step, I'm out of sync with him, not really trying to listen to what he's telling me, that he is grieved. When he's trying to take me one way and I'm trying to go the other, and he wants to bring fruit, more love, joy, and peace, and yet there's that old self, sinful nature, as Paul says here, that is maybe trying to go down a different trail. And there's a sense of that that maybe you feel, and that's that reminder saying, the Spirit's in us working. It's a reminder of all that he wants, and the prod is on towards greater blessing. And as we can keep in step, as we can listen and get back on track, the more that I listen, the more that I grow, and the more that I come the person that God has in mind for me to be. And that was Paul's reminder here for this Galatian church. I mean, remember the grace of God that you've been taught about. Don't ever think you're going to go back and now do it all on your own, but be reminded of that incredible truth that the Holy Spirit lives inside of each of you and looking to produce his fruit as you cooperate with him. And then there's going to be incredible difference to that natural, selfish, sinful desire, all the way that comes when we don't know Christ. We follow simply our natural, sinful nature. to instead somehow become the people of God that we are meant to be. And so it's a reminder to them, to us as well. I mean, how much better is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? And all that he's looking to do inside of me, all that he's looking to do inside of you. And that's where I'm going to pick up from here then next week. But if and when you eat fruit this week, think about the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. You know, the blessing. And yeah, if you get delicious fruit, I mean, it's a reminder. That's what he's looking to do in us as he lives in us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. And even as we've been looking at these aspects of spiritual things and trying to even comprehend somewhat what it means to have spirit living in spirit as the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of each of us, that guaranteed deposit. And not only as that mark that we, that sign that we belong to you, but as comes to work in us and to change and to grow that fruit. As we can read this list, and it's an incredible list, it's things that we want for our lives, and to know you in that greater sense of just what you are looking to produce in us. So help us as we understand better what it means to keep in step and to follow and to allow that fruit to really grow and mature and to become just that incredible, delicious, tasty fruit, not only in our lives, but as that goes beyond us to bless others. So we pray and, as always, come and teach us and give us that grace and strength to be able to listen and to follow. And we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.